All right, so there's a small contingency of World Cup diehards here at the station this summer. There's me, along with Jimmy.
Vamos, Mexico.
And also there's Daniela Vidal Ali, who is our couch fellow, rooting for her native Colombia.
Until they got knocked out by England.
But how serious is this summer for you, this World Cup?
It is so serious for me and my family. I grew up watching every World Cup game from 2006, 2010, 14. We just sat in our living room, watched like 3 or 4 hours of soccer pretty much every day. Or we'd wake up super early to watch like a game that was happening in Japan where this Colombian team had won the South American version of Champions League. Anyway, so we woke up like 4 a.m. to watch these games. So it is deep in his blood.
Were there snacks involved?
No, I don't know. Maybe. Growing up in a Colombian household, that's something that is just an essential part of who you are and rooting for your national team and, you know, hearing so much pride when you hear the anthem. I always think, you know, we went to Nashua to go talk to Colombians watching the Colombia-England game. And something I was curious about is like, man, what does it feel like to watch your home country when you're not living there? And that made me think of my dad, and he's been here since 1982. So that's a lot of World Cups.
That is.
Colombia has not qualified for many of them, but, you know, I was curious what his experience was like from like 1990, 1994, when the Colombia did qualify.
Lo que pasa después del Mundial, cuando matan a Andrés Escobar, ¿no? Por haber cometido un autogol, ya era un repudio total a la clase narcotraficante que manejaba el fútbol.
I had heard from my mom vaguely that my dad had been greatly changed by the killing of Andrés Escobar, this Colombian player who scored an own goal in the 94 World Cup, but I didn't realize to what extent the man that I knew growing up loved soccer so much.
So what was he saying right there?
So he's saying that, you know, after the 94 World Cup, just a few weeks later, Andrés Escobar was killed. So his assassination led to this backlash of the narco class, like Pablo Escobar, who controlled Colombian soccer, really, the players, the refs, how things went. And, you know, for him, the game had just been stained by this innocent man's blood.
Mm-hmm. Doloroso porque Andrés Escobar era lo que tenía la selección para mostrar como gente típica colombiana, una persona humilde, sencillo, inteligente, muy, muy educado.
Here he's saying it was even more painful that it was Andrés Escobar who was killed because he was, you know, this picture of all of the best Colombia has to offer, you know, humble, hardworking, intelligent, polite. You know, he was kind of like the face of the Colombian team. And so the fact that he was killed, you know, was like, how low has our country fallen then? How low has the sport fallen here?
Dijiste que te alejaste como de ver solo el fútbol colombiano. ¿Cuántos o meses o años te tomó?
And so would you just ask him?
I asked him how long it had took him to get back into soccer. And I thought it was just a few months, but it ends up it was years.
Viendo a 22 personas correr detrás de un balón. Y cuando no hay sentimiento, cuando no hay ese apego como fanático, es aburridor.
So for him, soccer became really boring afterwards. For him, it just lost all this meaning and connection and feeling that he had before Andrés Escobar was killed. So it was, to him, it just felt like 90 minutes, 22 men, and one ball that they're chasing after, and that's it.
And so at this point, in 1994, you have yet to hit the scene, right?
Yes. I don't think I was conceived July 1994 yet. I was born July 3rd, 1995.
So then what did you want to ask him? You know, because you have siblings, right?
I do, and we all grew up playing soccer. And like I mentioned earlier, soccer was just the way our family lived life. All three of us were on club teams, or at one point we were on two teams, and you had crazy weekends where it'd be like 12 games. I'm like, oh my gosh, how do my parents do that? So I I always thought this is what he wanted for his kids. I always thought he wanted us to be huge soccer fans and good soccer players, and that I was curious. Did he?
Yo volvía prácticamente fue por Santiago, porque Santiago andaba jugando con una pelota y cuando estábamos construyendo la casa y el contratista hizo dos canchas en, usando 2x4 y Santiago empezó a jugar ahí y luego ustedes se metieron.
So he says, you know, really it started out with my brother because my dad didn't have that much of a reference point for women playing soccer. You know, grew up in
weird
Colombia in the 60s. So, yeah, so we were doing some construction on our house and this contractor had made these goals with 2x4s and my little brother was playing out there and my sister and I joined him. And around the same time, we wanted to play on our school soccer team. So my dad was like, okay, this things are getting interesting. Like everyone is showing some kind of interest in getting involved.
Pero luego ya que empezamos a jugar fútbol, eso, el deporte parece que se volvió más como algo central de la familia y de lo que hacíamos y como.
So now it's becoming a central part of everything you do, or inseparable from anything you do.
Yeah. So that's what I asked him. Is you know. Now that we started playing, it seems like soccer was a way that we started to relate to each other or just became part of who our family was and what our identity was about as a unit.
Siendo hispanos, no creíamos en decir, si vean que papá las lleva ni nada. Entonces nosotros empezamos a ir a asistir.
Wait, what did he just say right there?
He said, us being Hispanic, we didn't believe in other people taking you to soccer practice. So carpooling, not a thing in my family.
Okay.
Entonces, con tus hijos participando, eso como despertó más de los sentimientos.
I asked him if with us playing soccer, if that participation brought up the feelings that he had had towards the sport before 1994, before Andrés Escobar is dead.
Claro, porque como te dije, el fútbol es una emoción, es un sentimiento, y los sentimientos se pueden enmascarar, pero no se pueden eliminar.
It's a beautiful man.
Yeah, he just said. You know, soccer is this feeling, this sentiment, and feelings can be masked, but they can't be eliminated, is what he just said.
And so we watched the England game together.
We did, yes.
And it was a very heartbreaking game. Colombia had a nice late run there.
We did, by Jerry Mina, yeah, the 93rd minute. From? He's from my home state of Cauca, so let's go.
But I felt like I didn't get the full Daniela experience because, you know, one, you had a recorder and you were asking people what their experiences was. But also, when you got on the phone at a certain point and you called your dad, I could tell that this is a bond that you two had. And mm-hmm. it felt sad watching you not to be able to share it in person.
Yeah, I'm kind of tearing up right now. yeah, it's like my dad had called me and I missed his call. And so I was like, clearly he wants to talk about the game. There's no other reason why he's calling me right now, as you know, Colombia's in overtime versus England in the round of 16.
Pues hablamos de este mundial. Para ti se sintió diferente que yo no estar en la casa viéndolo con ustedes.
And so is that what you're kind of asking him right there?
Yeah, I'm asking him if it felt different for him that I wasn't at home, because I know it felt different for me not to be at home.
Are you going to be able to talk about his answer and not cry?
I don't know.
Sí, mija, porque hay menos que compartir, hay menos que decir, viste eso, viste lo otro, ver las estadísticas, comentar los partidos, ¿no? Entonces, se siente, es como ir a un estadio solo, ¿no? Entonces, es diferente ir en familia o ir un grupo que ir uno solo. Es diferente ir a una película uno solo y que ir un grupo, una familia.
So, I think I'm keeping it together.
You are. It's pretty impressive.
So, here he's saying, you know, for him, it's like there's just less to share after a game or less of, did you see that? Did you see this? And, I mean, my dad's watching it with my mom and with my brother when he's not in class. But, like, you always need the other person to geek out about the same thing that you love. And if you're not there together, then it's like, who do I geek out about this with if there's nobody else in your life that you've kind of built that same relationship with? And so the way my dad describes it is like going to a stadium by yourself. You know, like you're not with your friends, you're not with your family. Sure, you can kind of get the emotions that strangers kind of give you if they're also wearing the same jerseys, but it's like not the same to like turn around to your dad or your friend and just be like, ah, like they just scored, you know? And so yeah, that's how it felt like to me too, sitting in my room and watching it by myself.
As just listening to your story, I think of all of the practices he took you and your brother and sister to. I think of all of the games that you had watched, every single World Cup, you know, not missing a game, waking up early, staying up late with what sounds like no snacks, which is inhumane. But, I mean, you have all of this history and it's, you don't just forget about that.
No, it feels like a new phase of life. I think that's actually, I got married last year, and I think this has been the biggest thing that's like shown me the difference in not being at home. Like, I'm usually pretty adaptable to moving to any places or anything. But like for the first time, it's like, oh wow, this is what it really means not to be home. And I haven't thought about it a lot, so have lots of feelings coming up all of a sudden.
It's clearly hitting you.
Yeah.
And what is home but a place filled with family and love?